Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This is Sunbelt Commissioner Keith Gill, and I listen to the Funbelt Podcast.
This is the Funbelt Podcast, part of the Believe Network.
Folks, to Dusty Thibodeau of Warhawk Report, Jeremy Harper of Howlraiser, and Shane Metlin of the Daily News Record.
I think it's potentially a very good week for the Sunbelt.
But I'm just kind of going off on a random rant. It's just frustrating. It's...
Welcome back to it's not Sunbelt Podcast, Shane. It's Funbelt Podcast.
Yeah.
There's probably a Sunbelt Podcast out there, but that's not us. We're the Funbelt Podcast.
Yeah, we have some competition.
Yeah, there's guys. I feel like, though, we
set, I like both of those guys, though.
So. Yeah. Yeah. Those guys are lame. Yeah, we're the benchmark. You know, we set the bar high, and everybody else walks beneath it. I'm Jeremy Harper. He's Shane Metlin. Missing tonight, Thibodeau doing real world stuff, and Shane, we're just gonna have to somehow, sort of blindly, just sort of walk through the Sunbelt universe tonight, just on our own. I don't know if we can do it, Shane. What are we gonna do without Thibodeau?
I don't know. It's amazing we're getting this recorded, to be honest.
We've done a good job. We've made sure that we hit the record button. So that's success number one.
It's down to the last four teams. You know what teams I'm talking about. BetOnline has been your tournament bracket headquarters all March long. And now that we're almost down to the finals, we've still got a lot more in store. MLB is here, and NBA, NHL playoffs. They're all around the corner. As always, BetOnline is the number one source for your summer sports wagering. Head to BetOnline today and stay updated on all the action. And remember to use promo code BLEAV for your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, the game starts here.
Success number two will be to inform our viewing public that it's over. It's over for Sunbelt Hoops, apart from the recruiting and the coaching and all that stuff. We're done. Troy women tonight fell in the WNIT to Minnesota, 69-74. Nice. So that's it. Shane, it's over. How'd you like the basketball season?
I love the basketball season. I love all basketball seasons, but this one was particularly fun. It was a lot of good stuff going on.
I heard today that, was it Terrence Edwards?
Yes.
Yeah, went to Louisville? Yeah, okay. So, and then you had another, JMU had another guy go to Vandy. So the transfer portal working out for a couple guys for JMU. Other than that, it's still been, you know, mostly leaving. Not a lot of landing points yet for some of the guys that are leaving. But I assume that once the NCAA tournament is done, we'll see a little bit more of that. So, Shane, we didn't get to ask you. You know, you were the guy on the ground. Oh, wait. I wasn't there for the last recording. You probably got to talk to Tibbs about how great it was to be at the tournament, right?
I think I was the one who was not there for the last recording. Remember the...
Oh, that's right. It was me and Tibbs.
Yeah.
All right. Well, tell us, how was it? You know, I've never been to an NCAA tournament game. Never gone to like a regional or anything like that. So how was it? How was the buzz? Was it what you expected? Was it better than you expected? Give me the skinny.
It was awesome. And I don't know, maybe better than I expected. I think Brooklyn's a maybe... somewhat unique location for it. Okay. Last year, I can tell you some of my NCAA tournament experience. Last year, covering the women's tournament in Columbus,
yeah,
at Ohio State on campus, the men's tournament was also going on downtown.
Yeah.
Getting a game or two there, but maybe a historic upset. Won't mention that for the Purdue fans who are feeling good this week.
Okay.
But
that's a good idea.
But, you know, so experience there, and that's, you know, Columbus is a decent-sized city, but it's a smaller, much smaller, much different than New York. It's, you know, a college area. So then experiencing it in New York in Brooklyn was a little bit different, I think. You know, just who was there. There were a lot of celebrities there, and I didn't even realize it, like, you know, while it was going on. You know, a lot of famous people come out to watch. There's a lot of alumni of basically every school you can think of in the city. So, you know, JMU draws like a good amount of students and alumni from that area, especially New Jersey. JMU fans were there in force. There was a ton of JMU fans. And
I don't think the broadcast was ready for that.
Everybody had alumni in the city that was there. So it was a really fun atmosphere. It was just, you know, the building was packed and the people were into it. And it wasn't, you kind of wondered if it being in New York, if people weren't going to be as into it because, you know, they've got everything there.
Yeah, but sure.
People were really, really into those games. Like every single one of them was a really fun atmosphere.
So Wisconsin, gracious losers?
I think so. You know, it's the upper Midwest, you know, Minnesota nice, I think, spills over across the border into Wisconsin.
Okay. And
Kodos and everything else, too. Like, you know, they were, yeah, I think so. You know, they may be more gracious to the JMU fans than they were to their own coach, who I think they were not happy with. But, but yeah, I mean, and the Wisconsin media people, too, were absolutely awesome. Like, even leading up to the big event, you know, talking to them, doing radio hits and things like that. Like, I love the Wisconsin media contention. These guys were incredible.
Now, are they incredible beer drinkers too? Or did you witness any of that?
Didn't witness a ton of that. You know, that is also the one thing about it being in New York is, like me, some other people were like, okay, we're going to save the company a little money and crash somewhere with somebody we know nearby, and you know, people are taking the subway, like either if they're staying in a different borough or you know, there wasn't a ton, at least from the media contingent, there wasn't a ton of like partying outside and around the arena as much as maybe there might be. Like I said, in Columbus, it seemed like, you know, people were heading like across the street to their hotels and stuff. Like there was less of that, I think, going on in Brooklyn. People were all over New York, I think.
Did you see Spike Lee?
I didn't. You know, he's more in Madison Square Garden, but, you know, Bill Murray was there. I saw him in person. Some other people did. Sounded like Seth Meyers made it to, like, at least a game or two. I don't know. There was people around, so, like, but I didn't see a ton of those kinds of celebrities, but I know they were in the building.
So did you get, like, the premium press spot? Or did they put you like in some sort of like a corner area where you couldn't see the game very well?
Oh no, I was in a very, very good spot.
Okay.
8 million people watched JMU lose to Duke in the second round, and they all got a very good view of where I'm losing a little hair on top. So,
so Shane, now we established that Wisconsin were pretty good losers. Duke, pretty shitty winners.
You know,
I just assume they are. I could be wrong.
Probably. The Duke fans weren't necessarily as around. I don't know if that makes sense. Like, they were there, but it wasn't as, I don't know, this is old hat for them. And
yes.
At least even in just walking around outside the arena or something, like,
yeah,
you know, Northwestern fans were very happy to be there. And there's a lot of Northwestern grads in the city, and, you know, they were well represented. Wisconsin, I think everything's a party wherever the Wisconsin fans go. Vermont was there. That was a huge deal for them. JMU fans were obviously going crazy. But, yeah, I mean, Duke fans are just kind of there.
Yeah. You know? Mm-hmm. Business as usual. Okay. All right. Well, it sounds like you had a good time. Now, JM, here's what happens though. You have a good season, right, Shane? And then things start falling apart. So instantly, coaches poke. Did I lose you? Oh, no. I lost Shane.
I'm back.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, I don't have my video on, but I'm back.
Okay. All right. That's fine. No, there's your. Okay.
All right.
All right. Well, okay. So, what I was saying was that with success, like JMU had, comes at a cost. And right away, Vanderbilt comes out of nowhere, poaches the coach. Star players leaving, which you kind of expected. You knew Terrence Edwards was probably going to go. It was his grad
Yeah.
season. So, and then you guys get the new coach. What do you think of the new coach?
So far, seems great. For JMU fans, I think the hire, both in the process and the person they hired, is going to remind them a lot of Bob Chesney hiring for the football coach just a few months ago. It seems like a similar personality, similar in that he wants to kind of get out in the community a little bit more than maybe they previously have had. He's had success at, for Chesney, it was coming from the FCS level. So you could definitely say like success at a lower level. But, for Spradlin coming from the Ohio Valley Conference, I still think this is a step up in conference. He's definitely stepping up in terms of like budget and resources, things like that. But he was very successful there. A
Yeah,
couple
well,
NCAA
great.
tournaments, including this year, an NIT. So I think it was a good hire. I mean, you think back, you might not think back because JMU probably wasn't even on your radar
It wasn't.
8 years ago.
No.
They've now made three hires in the last 8 years. 8 years ago, they were basically forced because they couldn't get who they wanted to hire a Bowling Green assistant who happened to be an alum, who just didn't have the resume to be a head coach at that level. I love the guy, but like,
You gotta
just
get
that
the
they're in a completely different place now where they're hiring somebody who's been the two NCAA tournaments as a head coach, as opposed to somebody who hadn't been a head coach, hadn't been an assistant at a high major conference, and hadn't even been like an assistant at, the mid majors you think of as powerhouses. It wasn't like he was coming from VCU or Wichita State or somewhere. It was Bowling Green. They were not anything special at that time. And, just with who they're able to hire and the candidates they're able to attract right now, I think it's just a completely different level than JMU basketball had been in a while.
Well, after the tournament, though, Mark Byington, he was pretty much the toast of the town. I think people who weren't paying attention to James Madison before the tournament were really surprised by the outcome. We weren't, because we knew that James Madison was a really good basketball program with some really good players on it, and it was well coached. And so I think that's just what happens, though. You see a coach come out seemingly nowhere, not nowhere from us, but seemingly nowhere in the universe of college basketball, brings in this team that completely schools a Big Ten program, a program that was supposed to do okay in the tournament. Yeah, you're not going to have much choice but to lose that guy, right? So were you unhappy to see Coach leave, or were you like, okay, Byington, you got us to where, to this good place. If you need to go, you need to go.
Yeah, I mean, I wasn't happy to like be thrown into a coaching search to cover, before I even crossed the state line back into Virginia. I had to pull over and write something, but wasn't happy about that. But it was to be expected. He's a good guy, good coach. You got to be happy for him, and I think it was also just a situation too where you're seeing it at JMU, you're seeing it other places. Virginia Tech just went through with it through a women's basketball coach. If there's an SEC or a Big Ten job available, coaches are going to take it because those are the only conferences where
I know.
what level you're going to be at in 5 years. Like,
that's actually a really good point. It's like you can go to Vanderbilt, which may or may not have success in the SEC. Sometimes they have good seasons in the SEC in basketball, right? But at least you know you're going to be one of the survivors, right?
Yeah. And I think he'll have success at Vanderbilt. I think, you know, it's not Vanderbilt football. Football is going to have a tough time competing. But, like, I think Vanderbilt can win in basketball. At least, you know, they've been a program that can get to the NCAA tournament consistently and get to Sweet 16s. And
they've been there before.
I don't see why Mark Byington couldn't have that kind of success there.
No, in fact, I suspect that he will. So did you catch the NCAA women's game between LSU and Iowa, the one that 12 million people ended up watching?
You know, I was following the score closely, but I wasn't in front of the TV. Just didn't happen to be in front of the TV. But yeah, I mean, seen some highlights and, you know, so many just unbelievable performances.
Yes.
Like that game and other NCAA tournament games, like it's pretty incredible. The stars are coming out.
Here's the thing. I don't watch a lot of women's basketball outside of Arkansas State. So I've seen more women's Arkansas State basketball than I've seen in a long time. So, you know, I've seen the games play out from that point of view. And I remember last year we were talking about James Madison's women's team, and because they were going into – did they end up playing Wisconsin? Who did they end up playing last year?
Ohio State.
All right. I knew it was a Big Ten. And I asked you, I said, is there a difference – when you see, you know, a kind of a lower level conference school like Sun Belt, and they get into those games with more moneyed programs like in Ohio State, do you see a big difference in the athletes? And you're like, I don't know, maybe. But I tell you what, watching LSU and Iowa, those women put out they were just outstanding basketball players, Jane. Forgive me, I did not know that game. Angel Reese has such a beautiful, like, inside game, like this touch underneath the basket that was just fantastic to watch. Caitlin Clark has no limits to her range. She plugs them from any place. It was just incredible watching that game. So, yeah, I was, like, just, like, blown away by the level of basketball being played by those two teams.
Yeah, I think in the women, there's still a bigger gap between, like, say, the top 20 team and everybody else. It's closing. It's not like it used to be. It used to be like, you know, the top five teams had every good player, and, you know, they were just going to blow everybody out until they got to the Final Four to play each other.
Well, before that, even, Shane, it used to be just Tennessee and UConn. Those were the only two programs. And then Baylor kind of showed up. And then now there's, like, you're right, there's about 20 teams out there that's really – and I guess maybe because that depth of talent is growing, it's still not as deep, of course, as of right now with the men, but that depth of talent really is growing.
Yeah, and it's getting closer. And, you know, even like we said, you know, last year JMU goes to the NCAA tournament and they play Ohio State. And Ohio State was just deeper, more athletic – than JMU was, but JMU competed in that game for a while. They were ahead like 16 at one point, I think.
Wow.
And, you know, the one thing you really wonder about when you watch the women's tournament is everybody loves the upsets in the men's game, the men's tournament. And in the women's tournament, the top four seeds all play at home.
Yeah.
You never see a 13 beat a four.
No.
In the women's tournament. They're not going to do that on their home court. And you saw it with that JMU game last year. They got ahead, and there were 10,000 Ohio State fans there who got rowdy, and it turned on them. And it was the opposite. Like I said before, you know, I went to downtown to watch the men's game, bought a ticket to that.
Yeah.
Complete opposite when Fairleigh Dickinson is beating Purdue.
Yeah.
You know, half the people in the building were Purdue fans, but the other half – were rooting against Purdue. It's a completely different thing. And they talked about if it's time to put the women's all on neutral courts. And I think they're getting closer to it. But
I mean, one, when you see 12 million people tune in to a women's basketball game on the same during the same tournament in which they can't even get the 3-point line right. I mean, that's just embarrassing. That's embarrassing that the women have to continue going through this sort of shoddy craftsmanship. Do you remember a couple of years ago, I guess through the COVID time, when everybody was kind of bubbling and all the men were treated to like these elite exercise units and rooms, and the women got a dumbbell tree? I mean, why can't we get this right for the women, Shane? What are we doing?
I don't, because the NCAA for some reason didn't try to sell the women's tournament, like, or any of their other tournaments. Why are they not making money off of, people watch the College World Series, they watch the women's tournament,
Yeah.
like, and they just basically like give it to ESPN for nothing instead of like they sell the men's tournament for billions. They should be able to make some money off the women's tournament and then put it back into it. But
Especially now that you can start just rattling off stars, Paige Becker, Caitlin Clark, Angel Reese, Juju from USC. You can now name stars that play in the in for women's teams just as well as you can name men's stars. So yes, it's time for the NCAA to treat these women with the respect they deserve, and God forbid, maybe start marketing a little better and making a buck off of it too.
I don't understand. The college presidents, ADs, everybody who makes up the NCAA will milk every single penny they possibly can out of TV deals for football and the NCAA tournament for the men. And, to the point of like, you get accosted if you try to walk towards the court with a Coke can that's not poured into a Powerade cup. And every single penny they can out of that. And then for their other sports, they're just like, yeah, whatever.
Yep, whatever. Yeah, maybe the NCAA does the NCAA doesn't need to die. Speaking of NCAA tournaments, Shane, I know you're excited about this because you're excited about it every year, and with good reason. NCAA bowling tournament happening. It's starting tomorrow, Shane. First round, the two kind of play-in games. It's an 18 team field this year. Two play-in games with some smaller schools trying to get wedge themselves in. And then the double elimination starts on Thursday. Arkansas State, your Arkansas State Red Wolves, the number two seed in the tournament. It's going to be another great NCAA tournament. Looking forward to watching it. The finals are on, I think, ESPNU on like April 12th, maybe something like that. I'm looking forward to it. I can't wait for it. I know, Shane, you'll be logging on to bowl.com, which will be streaming the games, right?
I will now that I know that bowl.com exists.
I got to talk with A-State head coach Justin Kostic. I don't know. Were you with us when we talked to him that one time? I can't remember.
That was a fun.
Yeah, he likes to talk. And when I interviewed him, I only had a half an hour with him. He was doing a bunch of interviews that day, so we had to keep it succinct. He was oiling his own practice lanes while talking to me. So we got into another discussion about oil patterns, which was fun. He talked about the roster. It's pretty much the same five women who came up just short last year. I don't know if you remember the thrilling final against Vanderbilt. Arkansas State up 3-1. Vanderbilt comes back, wins the match, wins the tournament, becomes national champions. Lots of heartbreak. But you know what? If you talk to Justin Kostic, he doesn't sound bitter about it. He just sort of goes with the flow. And I think he's looking forward to this tournament. So hopefully we bring the natty to Jonesboro.
Yeah, it seems like it's a real possibility. Fingers crossed for the Red Wolves.
Oh, yeah. It's not, this is even Sunbelt news, Shane. This is CUSA news. So,
Is. We can talk.
okay.
Any of the flagship members, we'll talk about any of their sports, I think. Whether it be dodgeball, lacrosse, bowling,
Sure.
water skiing, I'm sure
You got
somebody
you.
might want to bring up some water skiing at some point.
I hope so. That would be great. I know that there's, I think there's the college chess tournament happened a couple of days ago. I don't know if that's an NCAA sanctioned tournament or not, but that looked cool. I wish that was on TV. I would definitely watch that. So are you watching the NCAA finals? Are you got any rooting interest?
No real rooting interest. I don't know. I kind of will be happy for NC State, I think, they do it, you know. Yeah. They're one of the big boys, but they're also, like, the ones who have been tortured a lot over the years, being next to UNC, and they've been through the ringer a little bit. So.
Yeah, I guess. I guess if I had to root for one team, you can't root for Duke. You can't root for UConn. They've already won it a couple times. Who's the other program in there? It's Duke, North Carolina State, UConn. Duke's not in it. What, Duke's not in it?
No, NC State beat them.
Oh, that's right, right, right. Thank you. It's NC State, UConn. Who's the other two?
Purdue,
that's right, with the big Zach Edney, which I did watch Purdue versus, God, who was he? Oh, Tennessee. I did watch that game. I thought that was a fun game to watch. Oh, Alabama.
Yeah. I mean, something good finally happened for the Alabama athletic department. But.
Yeah, you know, those guys, they've been around for so long and just haven't quite been able to close escrow and a championship in any sport. And I'm just so happy for Alabama. You know, I just hope that this is finally something breaks right for those guys.
They might be able to make some money off of this for their athletic department, finally.
Yes, because they're always strapped for cash.
Yeah.
I really feel sorry for those poor louts. Yeah, I, you know, my bracket's busted, so I don't really have, you know, I had add Houston going all the way. You know, they get
so dry.
Yeah, it seemed like a good pick. And
Jamal Shedd has to go down. That hurt
us. Yeah, bad ankle at the very beginning there. So yeah, that's too bad. But you know, I always say that I probably won't watch it. I don't have a rooting. I always watch it, Shane. You know, and I try to stay up for one shining moment on the Monday night and check it out. But more often than not, you know, they really milk it. They wait forever to put it out. It's probably like 3 a.m. for you way out there on the East Coast by the time you get to see it. But I'm ready for bed by the time that shows up. All right, so we got the national stuff. You know, we said we're going to kind of bounce around the Sun Belt. And there really isn't a whole lot going on outside of baseball and softball.
Yeah.
Which... Now that my Arkansas State Red Wolves are doing as predicted and completely tanking and losing big, they lost to University of Arkansas last night, 13-0. It's very hard for me to watch Sun Belt baseball right now. But JMU, how are they doing? Let me know.
Well, it's kind of a mixed bag for JMU. They started well.
Yes.
Got up there. I mean, they're still reasonably high RPI-wise. Yeah. They were... top 10 at one point. I don't know where they are now.
Kind of crazy, yeah.
Not top 10, but they tend to blow the third game in each Sun Belt series. They're not winning any series, so they're tied for 10th right now.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's early. Everybody can move up a spot or two based on what happens each weekend. So
sure they can. Yeah.
But it's a yeah.
It's the Coastal Carolina show. It's the Southern Miss show. I think Texas State's doing Raging pretty Cajun good
show right now.
Who? What?
It's the Raging Cajun show right now.
Cajun show. The Cajuns are doing well. You know, Arkansas State, they started the conference play with a win over the Cajuns. We're so happy. And then now it's just kind of gone to shit. So
that's the only loss for the Cajuns so far in conference play.
We'll have that. That is what we can cling to. So, all right. So it was announced, by the way, that, what was it? The 23rd and 24th of July? Is that the right dates? I know
it's that week. I know for sure. I can't remember. Yeah.
Sunbelt Media Days. And you pledged, you said to us, I am going to try to make it. Are you going to try to make it this time?
I'm going to try to make it. I got my eye on those, you know. When I get the email, it says Southwest $39. I'm always checking to see if one of them's to New Orleans.
Yeah, I think you could probably find a cheap flight. I drive; it's not that far of a drive for me.
Yeah.
So, I'm going to try to get down there and wear my smoking jacket. And Dusty has come up with some sort of cool, like a bling for us to wear with like a 3D version of this Funbelt logo to wear like on a big chain that we can wear. So, I mean, we can come out there ball and chain.
That sounds great.
I mean, if you're in New Orleans, you gotta fit in, right? What?
Set up on Radio Row and
They always put us apart from Radio Row. There's like Radio Row, they put like in its own like room. Like it's not in the main press area.
yeah.
It's cut off, I guess, for sound reasons. I don't know why, but they're kind of way. And then they put the podcast guys kind of in the back of the main room. That's where us and that Farley or Fairley or whatever that other group is, we sit there and we do our interviews there. And then all the rest of the legit press, like Noah. Remember Noah? He was going to the legit press. He was out there scribing. But yeah, it's always fun. There's a lot of like fist pump bumping and trying to get interviews and dining out and maybe having a few drinks. So you should join us for that, Shane. Get ready for that.
I would like to come have a few drinks, some beignets, and
They've got beignets.
maybe I'll work too.
Well,
I'll be out there for the people who might be willing to pay for
let
it,
me
but I
tell
will
you,
also.
Dusty expects you to work. He gets a little cross because I'm usually an hour later than him. I come staggering down. I might be a little hungover. He's been up since six. He's already done like six interviews. He's already put it all together. I'm like, oh yeah, I was out last night. I'm glad you kind of took over for that. That was great. But no, he expects you to work, Shane. So we will have to do our best to work.
We will. We'll get work done.
All right. So that's it for our truncated Dusty Free show. But we gotta pay our respect to Dusty by doing plugs, promos, and parting shots. And I know you've been preparing for this, Shane. I know all day you've been thinking, what is my plug? What is my promo? What is my parting shot? So I'm gonna let you do that first because I have to think of what mine is.
All right. Well, I found out magic of Twitter, that I still don't want to call X,
Yeah, Twix, whatever.
that you're part
Oh.
Australian.
Yeah, I am.
It just makes so much sense to me now.
Good day, mate.
Yeah, I love that. Are you familiar with the old HBO show Flight of the Conchords?
Yes, I am.
So one of my favorite kind of running bits, how the New Zealanders, who are the main characters, kind of had this imaginary rivalry with Australia. And the Australians never even realized that there was like any animosity. They were just goofing around, having their fun time. And I was like, that makes so much sense. That's Howraiser. People taking what he says a little too seriously when he's just,
Yeah,
he's
I'm
just
just
having
overthinking.
a good time, cracking some jokes. He
I
doesn't know where this animosity is coming from because he's just an Australian.
just everybody relax, have a pint. Yeah, sure. Yeah, I'm like the Crocodile Dundee of Arkansas. I got the big knife. I'm constantly wrestling gators. But yeah, my grandma is a Australian true and true. She was from Sydney. She was an Australian war bride. My grandfather met her at a USO dance, and then when the war was over, had her shipped over to California where he picked her up, and they lived happily ever after in Illinois. But yeah, so my grandma, native Australian, I think her family might have come from Ireland, might have been crooks. I don't know. I think, it was a prison island or a prison colony for a long time. So there might be a little bit of that in it too. That was your parting shot? My
Yeah.
heritage? Okay.
Yes.
Well, I let me think. So
Not
do
taking a
you
shot at your heritage. I just thought it just fit. I was like, now I understand, Jeremy.
you get a little bit more of my criminal mentality. Hey, Shane, do you like science fiction?
depends on the science fiction. I might know where you're going with this now.
Okay. Because I like science. I do. I'm not... I don't have the big brain for science, but I do like physics. I do like outer space. You know, I like watching the universe documentaries on HBO right now because they blow me away with what they discuss and what they talk about. So I've been watching this show, Three Body Problem, on Netflix. Have you seen this show?
I haven't seen it yet. I heard a lot of discussion about
You've
it.
You probably read the books, right? Because you're a well-read man.
I haven't read the books, but I was with people over the past couple of weeks who have.
Oh, I bet they're kind of annoying about the show then, aren't they?
No, not really. I mean, they're getting into it. They're just kind of starting it.
Okay. Well, I went ahead and binged all 8 episodes. My wife got through about 3 of them, was like, I can't take this anymore. You're going to have to watch it yourself. So I finished it off. And here's the thing. If you like science, this is sort of the show for you, but the problem with it is that they just introduce enough science to sort of move the plot along. They don't really explore because I feel like they're thinking, we don't want our audience to think too much. So we're just going to sprinkle some like formulas and some sciencey technology or sciencey words, and that will be science enough. We won't really explore the science. We won't really like drill down. Instead, we're going to really focus on these boring characters and their trivial problems and their selfishness. And this is going to be the show. It's not going to be about the cool science that's going on. It's going to be about unrequited love or this guy not wanting to have a family or this girl not having a good relationship with her boyfriend. It's just really frustrating, Shane, because they have a lot of cool stuff going on. But these characters are like the worst. I have never come across a set of characters so reluctant to save the world. You would think, hey, I've got the ability to make a difference in this fight. By all means, sign me up. I want to be a part of this. All they do is whine about it, Shane. Oh, God. The ethical problems that we're facing. Oh, my God. I'm not the guy for you. I just want to smoke dope. I am so tired of these characters, Shane. I need them to buck up because war is happening in 400 years, damn it, and they better be ready for it. Anyway, that's my parting shot.
All right.
I think that's it.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.